up until last week, his name was Abram. God changed his name to match his destiny. Amen. I want to tell you something. God will change your name. All right. As your character is changing. And so it's been a long journey for Abram. As a matter of fact, from chapter 11 to chapter 17, it has been 24 years when God appeared to him initially. He made a promise. He made a covenant with him. Amen. And he told him, this is what I'm going to do for you. I want you to listen to me real good today. There's something I want you to learn today. And what I want you to learn is this. That you can rely on God's word. Now, there are people who question this book as to whether or not it is real. Whether or not you can take a scripture, amen, and stand on it and see it come to pass. Do I have anybody here who've actually seen God's word work in your life? Do I have anybody here who can say, I have stood on a promise? Amen. And when I stood on that promise, it came to pass. I got another question for you. Do you believe that we have to be developed in order to handle the responsibility and the blessings that God has for us? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is not going to give you anything, amen, to destroy you? He's going to give you things, amen, that's going to benefit you. I believe that. Amen. But the question is this too. What if we keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again? Do you believe that it delays the promises? Sometimes we're asking God for something. We feel as if we are doing the right thing. But yet, amen, it is our delay. Come on, somebody. It is our inability to leave places, amen, and things behind, amen, so that we can really develop. Can I ask you a question today? What's hindering your development? What's stopping you from going to the next level? Amen. It's a good question, okay? Now, I believe, amen, that if you can answer those questions, you are in a place, in a good place. Why? Because you are willing to evaluate where you are, where you want to be. Come on, somebody. Amen. And you are making a decision that you do not want to be the same another year. I wish I had somebody. I know this may sound like a broken record, but it has been 24 years. I love this story. It had been 24 years. And listen, God chose a man who made mistakes. You know what I love about God? He doesn't look at He does not really look at our ability as much as he looks at our hearts. See, I have nothing I can really offer to God. But God will take a person with a heart. Come on, somebody. And even though Abram made, and he made some major, major mistakes, I thank God that he didn't hold his mistakes against him. See, that's what you see here. And you know what I want to say to somebody here today? You can break the cycle. You can get out of your pity party. Amen. You can move past your mistakes and develop. But see, if you keep living in your mistakes, and if you keep reminding yourself of your mistakes, listen, from chapter 16 to 17, just 16 to 17, There's a 13-year span after they had messed up. 13 years. Listen, can you imagine God saying to you, listen, I'm going to bless you? Now, he said that way back in chapter 11, 12, 12, 13, 14, right? But watch this. But yet you don't see it. What does the average person do? The average person gives up. The average person throws in the towel. The average person stops believing the word of God. Are you with me? See, what we want is emotion, but God says, I'll give you my word. And my word is good enough. And can I tell you something? Doesn't matter how much you mess up. I'm about to help you with something today. And the question is, what are you going to do differently this year to develop? It's amazing how we know God's word and we know of God and we all have had an experience with God. But can I tell you something? You got to say to yourself, I got to do something different. Are you with me? In order to get to the promises of God, you and I have to make up in our minds that we're going to do something different. Last week, at the beginning of chapter 17, we see that God came in with the covenant, right? And if you notice from verses 6 to 8, you find that the I wills are there. God says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will establish you, my covenant with you. I will give you and your descendants, amen, this land. God promised Abraham land, seed, and blessings. I'm going to say it one more time. Land, seed, and blessings. But can you imagine being the one listening to God after still waiting 24 years? See, what happens to people is they become deaf. Watch this. Watch where I'm going with this. Because if you keep hearing the same thing over and over again, and it's happening for everybody else but you, you and I start questioning. Come on and help me, somebody. You're seeing someone doing the same thing you're doing, but they way ahead and they started, watch this, and they just started. Lord have mercy. You're trying to figure out, well, God, now, hold on now. I go to church. I try the best I can. I'm praising you. I'm giving thanks. But see, here's the thing. You got to know the difference between Satan blessing you and God blessing you. There's a big difference. And when God blesses you, amen, there is a covenant that he makes with you. So last week we saw the confirmation of the covenant. We saw the confidence that God was trying to build in Abraham for the covenant. We saw the changing of his name. But now we find in verse 9, we see here in verse 9, it says, God said further to Abram, what he said, he said, now as for you, amen. See, this is the responsibility part. So verses 1 to verse 8 is God's responsibility. All right? Verses 1 to verse 8 is whose responsibility? So when you have a covenant, all right, let me remind you of this, okay? A covenant is not a contract. Can I tell you what a covenant is? A covenant is a commitment where we define it as not just a commitment, but there are obligations in a covenant. They're different than a contract because they are relational. Write this down. And personal in nature. A covenant is relational and what? Personal. Now, here's the thing. We know the promises of God. But when God enters into a covenant, I don't know if you guys know about the old covenant and the new covenant. Amen. What we see today in this chapter, what we see in this chapter here is the old covenant being formed by God to Abraham. I'm trying to help you with something. And God is into covenants. In other words, watch this now. What's the definition of covenant? It's personal and relational. It's obligations and commitments. All right, let me say it one more time. It's personal and relational. It's obligations and what? Commitments. From verses 1 to verses 8, God says, my obligation is what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you seed. I'm going to give you what? Blessings. You ready? Now watch this now. Watch where I'm going with this. He says to him in verse 9 now, he says, now God said further to Abraham, now as for who? You. Now if you want this, here's what you got to do on your part. As for you, that's what he says. He says, you shall keep my covenant, but not just you. Can I ask you a question? This is why I just said what I said about our children worshiping. I want you to pass down. The covenant that God made with you. Now your children ain't going to understand it right now. They're going to think you tripping. They're going to think you old. You know, that kind of stuff. They're going to think you outdated. Antique, vintage. You get where I'm going with this. Amen. They're going to be like, man, why? Man, I don't need to go to. But let me tell you something. As long as they're under your care, keep them in the covenant. Watch where I'm going with this. Watch it. How many of you, your mama and daddy would tell you to go to church? Let me see. Matter of fact, they would drug you to church. You're a drug addict. They drug you on Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, you know. How many of your parents just drug you to church? You went to church. Watch this now. And then when you got a little older, you just what? Strayed away. But because of the covenant. Oh, come on and help me. How many of you had a good time while you were out? It wasn't so good, was it? Because you were broke down after the good time. Come on and help me, somebody. You came back with a package. Amen. And some other stuff, too. I ain't going to say nothing. Amen. You came back with some stuff you can't kill now. Amen. But you thought you were having a good time. Come on and say amen with me, y'all. Shout a little bit. Huh? Y'all want to be cute today? Y'all want to be Christian today? Huh? You went out there and caught something. Amen. That took something to get rid of it. Two shots. I wish I had somebody. Uh-huh. And then some of you brought back a baby carriage with you. You say, I don't want nothing to do with mama. I don't want nothing to do with them. But then watch this. But you found your way back. Come on, somebody. Into the house of the Lord. Watch this now. Watch this. And it isn't because you were so good. It's because your parents were in covenant with God. Come on, somebody. And the example that you got, watch this. You may have left it for a little while, but here you are now. Listen to me real good. Young people do dumb stuff, y'all. But watch this. But God told Abraham, as for you, I want you to keep it, but you and your descendants after you, watch this, throughout their what? So what was God saying to Abraham? I want a generation. I don't want this day, your Christian walk, to end with you. I don't want your faith walk to die when you die. I want you to pass it down to generations and generations to come so they understand that we didn't get here by ourselves. And so what God did first is this. Here's what I see first. I see his responsibility to develop a relationship with the God of the covenant. The only way you could pass this down is if we are responsible. Brothers and sisters, let me say this to you. Whether you're young or old, we have a responsibility. You know what that responsibility is? To develop your relationship. We have an obligation to grow. To take seriously the responsibility to grow in this covenant relationship with God because God is good. And when God gets your attention, when God, watch this, turns in your direction, here's the thing, we've come this far by faith. But I want to say to somebody here, you have to stop blaming everybody for your downfalls and your mistakes and start taking responsibility for the fact that you have left the covenant relationship. What is a covenant? It's relational and personal. Are you with me? It's an obligation and a responsibility. When you become a church member, you are in covenant now with God, and you have an obligation and a responsibility. So if you decide I ain't coming on Sunday, then you're not holding up your end of the bargain. We want to do church online. God says you can't serve me online. Now listen, I ain't being hard. I'm just presenting the truth. He says, I want you to pass this down. Now watch this now. Watch what the covenant entails now. Verse 10. He said, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me. See? It's what? Relational and personal. You and your descendants after you. He repeats himself, verse 10, didn't he? Now look at verse the bottom part. Each male, everything starts with the man. And men, we'll talk later. Every male among you shall be what? Circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in your flesh and your foreskin. Watch this now. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Every male among you at 8 days old. You know what? God, let me tell you something about the Bible. The Bible is so amazing. Let me tell you about God. The word is real. You know why God chose eight? Because at 8 years old is when the body starts producing vitamin K. So the child can heal. Lord. He didn't say do it when he was three. He didn't say do it when he was two. But he said do it when he was what? Eight. Because his body can produce what? Vitamin K so that it can heal. Now let me tell you what circumcision is about here. It's the cutting away of the excess. Are you with me? God says, I want this covenant, to be a physical covenant. The old covenant was a physical covenant. Every Jewish child, by the time they're 8 years old, male, that is, they are circumcised. God wanted them to do something where they can see it and they can feel it. It requires the cutting away of. Come on and help me, somebody. Listen, 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 listen. circumcision, every male that was circumcised, whether and what circumcision showed is that the person was either devoted to God or not. In the Old Testament, it was a recognition that the physical circumcision was necessary to prove that you were a believer. So not only do I see his responsibility, but the next thing I see is this. We see is how he enters the covenant. Right? Watch this. Moses commanded the Israelites, this is after this, to be circumcised. But what Moses told them, don't circumcise your flesh, circumcise your heart. Get the excess stuff off your heart. Jeremiah also preached in Jeremiah 4:4. He says, it's time for you to be circumcised in the heart. Now, today, we do not enter the covenant through a physical means, but we enter into by a spiritual means. And that the way we enter into a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. We enter through the confession of Christ, and then he circumcises our heart. Today, you and I have entered a new covenant. And this new covenant is through Christ Jesus. It is also through baptism. It is through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? All of us have to go through that circumcision. But this year, you got to take responsibility seriously, your responsibility to the covenant that you have entered into. As a participant of the new covenant, you are a recipient of the blessings. So here's the thing. Watch this. There were people. Let's go to verse 14. I'm gonna skip down. Let's go down to verse 14 real quick. Look what it says. But an uncircumcised what? Who is not circumcised? Check this out. In flesh or of his foreskin. Okay, you see that? That person shall be what? Cut off. So let me show you how God was doing salvation back then. Every male in the family, the male would lead. See, it's not like today. We ain't just dropping babies and moving around. Check this out. Every male in the family had to go before God. But watch what the text says. But any what? Uncircumcised male who is not what? So what does that mean? What does that mean? I thought God said everybody should be circumcised. Right? You ready? It's a choice. So you'd be like, man, I don't want my family to be part of that. Just like salvation. You can make a decision today. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. I don't want nothing to do with church. I don't want nothing to do with that. So it's a choice. And so what we see here, the text says, but an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised. In other words, God doesn't want you if you don't want him. Nobody's forcing you to be in the house of God or forcing you to follow Jesus. You got to come because You want to be in a what? A covenant relationship. You get it? Watch this. Watch this now. You can run for a little while. What's the next point? This is what you need right here. How he has to what? Discern those who are dedicated. You know what? Oh, I'm going to help somebody with something. This is called the doctrine of discernment. Not everybody that hangs with you is going the same direction as you. But can I tell you something? You got to be careful about hanging with people who don't want to be in a covenant relationship with God. It's the doctrine of what? Discernment. God tells him. Now, here's the thing. Here's how you discern who you're going to be around. Watch this. Watch this. What God is doing is showing that it's a choice. Yes, he told him that what's required, but he also told him the difference. Listen, circumcision is a process when a person was dedicating and committing their life to believe the promises of God and to follow after God with their whole heart. When a person decided that they're going to be circumcised, they're saying, I am going to dedicate my life to God. I'm entering this relationship. Come on and help me, somebody. But can I help you with something? If you're going to develop this year, there's some people you're going to have to cut out your life. You're going to have to discern whether they are or they're not. God says, this is the person that's in relationship with me. This is the person that's not. God says, no matter how nice they may be, amen, if they're not part of the covenant community, they are to be cut off. Watch this. They don't belong to him. Imagine this. Imagine there was someone who said, man, I ain't doing that. Shoot. Remember, they were circumcising grown men. Some of them were like, man, you ain't getting me over there. Shoot. I can do bad by myself. No, you telling me so. Now the covenant, now I didn't get to read all of it, but watch this. The covenant including the people that they bought, the people that were around them. So you know what else the covenant shows you? The covenant is for everybody. Just like salvation is for everybody. It's just a matter of a choice. But can I help you with something? You got to discern. You know what discernment is, right? The ability to make right decisions. The ability to know that something just ain't right around here. Right from wrong. Left from right. Come on, somebody. That, listen, you can't keep pulling stuff over my eyes and don't think I don't see it. But here's the thing. Folk that keep telling you they good and they going this and they balling up and they doing all this other stuff, but they're not in covenant with God. Can I help you with something? That will run out. But God says you better discern who has a circumcised heart and who doesn't. Because if you don't know the difference, come on. Anybody know the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? Anybody know the difference? Because let me tell you something. Satan disguises himself as the angel of light. He'll show up just the way you like it. Are you with me? But you got to ask the question, are you in covenant with God? God said, listen, they shall be cut off. Man, you can tell the people who ain't in covenant with God. It ain't just because they're going through bad stuff. See, because the believer suffers. But it's the people who won't come in his presence. The people who keep making excuses why. We got a bunch of church members. Come on and help me, somebody. Who can't come back into the house of God. And I question whether or not they are really in a covenant relationship with God, because there's something about coming in the presence of God. You can't be so busy and so cute where you just can't show up and worship your God. Are you with me? Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Look what he says next. Watch what he says next now. Watch what he says next now. Right there at the end of verse 14. Next week I'll pick up in 15. Watch what he says. He said, they shall be cut off from the people, for he has what? You know what we see last? How life, give me an apple, will turn out. How life will turn, how will life turn out if they break the covenant? They will be cut off. Imagine being cut off from the sanctuary. Do you not know that from the sanctuary flows your blessings? Do you not know that when you're cut off, you can't even read this word? Do you know that when you cut off, you can't pray? Do you know when you cut off, come on somebody, you can't praise? Do you know when you cut off, you can't sing? Do you know when you cut off, you can't have a peace of mind? Do you know when you cut off, you have no joy, no peace, no contentment, no happiness, no nothing? You could keep trying to throw whatever you want to throw at it, but you keep ended up in the same place. Watch this, frustration and failure when you cut off. You know what God was telling Abraham? Abraham, I want you to look at the people around you and mark the folk. It ain't my place to judge. Ooh, let me help you with something. Okay? Let me help you real quick, okay? You keep hanging around people that keep pulling you down, you're going to see how far you get. You went there to help them, but here, look at you now. So, yes, it is our duty. I didn't say judge, I said discern. But you got to be careful because some of them, they slick now. Amen. Now, don't be going to ask them if they circumcised. Oh, you know I had to get one in, at least one up in there. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But here's what I want you to do. I want you to just pay attention to their life. You could tell if a person's cut off. I mean, seriously, you could tell if they're cut off. Listen, if you have no desire for anything of God, pay attention. Like, and it's so dead. And it's so real. Watch this though. Watch this though. But God says this. You can enter into my covenant now. You ain't got to cut nothing, boo. You good. But you have to come with your heart ready to be circumcised. All that hurt you have in your heart. All that pain you got up in there. You find what I'm saying? The reason why I can't leave you because you have not really entered into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. A real relationship. So you keep having what? Frustration and failure. Do you know what? Do you know what? When you get saved, the Spirit of God performs spiritual surgery on you. Man, I remember, man, I was mean, man. Y'all ain't trying to hit me. Okay? I didn't care about nobody but me. All right? And on top of that, amen, all the other stuff. Oh, but when Jesus. You know what I want to say to somebody? God is offering you a covenant relationship today. Now, you got to decide. Now, some of you saved too long. Well, you feel like you good, but look at your attitude. You know what? You know when God does spiritual surgery on you, you know what it enables you to do? It enables you to have victory over the old nature. Victory over the old life. Circumcision puts off the body of sin of the flesh. It deals with your sin nature. And if you don't look at how life is turning out for those people, the only thing, you know, you say, one thing I can do for you now is pray for you. But just remember what a covenant is. What is a covenant? Relational, personal. It's an obligation and a commitment. Let's bring it up to 2023 right quick. Watch this. You have a what? You have an obligation and a responsibility. When you opened your mouth and confessed Christ, now it's not just you coming to do something. It's an obligation because it's personal to you. Many people have alarm systems in their house. And you know, when you walk in, you got about 30 seconds, amen, warning to disarm, amen, the system before it goes off. God has given each believer an alarm in your heart. Amen. We've gotten so used to not turning the alarm on that we don't hear it. Or we've gotten so used to turning it out, amen, or turning it off, amen, or walking in and just letting it go off and we're not hearing anymore. And some of us have disarmed the alarm. And God is speaking clearly. He's saying, come on, come on, come into this relationship with me. Listen, any relationship that you think you have right now, nobody can do you like Jesus. The promises that a person made to you and they lied to you already? Come on now. All those broken promises. And yet, the other thing I need to tell you. If you are in covenant with him and you have broken a relationship with him and you've been cut off, you can come back. Isn't that awesome? Listen, people will condemn you, but God loves you. Are you with me? And so if you're here today and you need prayer this morning, you know what we're going through in this book is we're seeing how God establishes a relationship with his people, ultimately to bring it down the line to us. He started with Abraham, the father of faith. Now remember, children of Israel is nowhere to be found yet. Amen? They have not been formed yet, but the children of Israel will come through Abraham and this promise that God has made him.